So let's take a look at the opening sugya. The opening sugya of Leila Seder is the beginning of our Shloshim Yom Kodem HaRegel as a tzibur. It's the opening sugya of the Inyanei Leila Seder, Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, and it's also particularly apropos, as we're going to see the first discussion we showed him raise, is something that in a unique way bridges Purim and Pesach. So you have this Mishnah at the beginning of our Arvei Pesachim. We were talking before about the overall bird's eye view of Maseches Pesachim, how Maseches Pesachim Mishnayis wise is organized chronologically, starting with the first parak Leil Yudalid, or which is how the first parak begins, Orla Ba'asar, B'dikas Chametz, working its way over the course of the ensuing prakim through the morning of Erev Pesach, afternoon of Erev Pesach, and here finally, Sadi Tesla and Bey is the first mission in the last parak. Three dinim, late in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, and then going into the night of Tezvav, and that's going to be the focus of the balance of the parak. Arvei Pesachim will be dedicated largely to taking us through the Seder. As a matter of fact, many of the lines, when we start learning the Mishnayos Arvei Pesachim, you notice that that many of the most famous sentences in Magid are drawn from Mishnayos in this last paragraph of Pesachim. What does Mishnah say? Arvei Pesachim Samach Lemincha Yochol Ma Shetechshach. Number one, not to eat too much in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Gemara gets involved in details. Rashi tells us you want to make sure that you come to the Seder with gusto. Then the Mishnah says, din number two, afilu anishe b'Yisrael layocha chiyasev. Even the poorest man should not eat until he does haseba. And din number three, lo yifchasu lo me'arba kozo shel yayin va'afilu min atamchoy. They should not give him less than four cups of wine, even from the tamchoy. What's a tamchoy? Right, the collection plate. Exactly. In Jewish tradition, the collection plate means a plate of food. First parak of Bava Basra in the Sugyas of Tzedakah, they talk about the different types of tzedakah collections that were done. They had also, as we do, for different levels, not say different organizations, but different levels. So there was a weekly collection of money, and there was a daily collection of food for people who needed mamash to have food on the table. Before modern refrigeration and modern food prep, so they would go around every day collecting a little bit of food from each family, from each household, and that would be made available to people who couldn't put food on the table. So even if a person is absolutely dependent on tzedakah, lo yifchasu lo me'arba kozhein, they should not give him less. In other words, not only if I can afford, I have to make sure that I have arba kozhein, even if I'm at a point in my life where I'm living off of tzedakah, the tzedakah organization needs to provide me. We don't say the arba kozhein yayin, that's a luxury, figure it out. No, that's a necessity, and the tzedakah organization has to provide arba kozhein yayin. There are various yukin to be made. We're not focused on the sugya of arba kozhein right now. Well, yifchasu lo, him, he, that's interesting. Tosrei gets involved in who was, why lo, as opposed to lahem. Does that imply perhaps you only need arba kozhein for one person? I guess Tosfos is involved in a larger discussion. That's the second Dir Maschil Lo on Tzaitas Neveis. Does everyone have to drink arba kozhein? Does just one person have to drink arba kozhein? That's a whole other briskerov which we're not getting involved in right now. That briskerov is actually the one about arba kozhein. Tradition has it. That was the result of Masu Matan between the Briskerov and his older brother, Moshe Soloveitchik, in response to practical shayas that came up during the war years when there was very, very limited supply. The Tosfos has a discussion. They don't have to drink. The one person has to drink. There's a lot going on there. But we're going to turn our attention back to Afil Anshi B'Yisrael LaYochal Chiyasek. Even the poorest man, the poorest Jew, will not eat without Haseba. So what does the Mishnah tell us about Haseba? Not very much. What does the Mishnah tell us about Haseba? It's a chiyuv. Okay, good. It's a chiyuv. Milsa. Haseba milsa. Haseba is a thing. Good. Number one, it's a chiyuv. What else? Just from learning the Mishnah. What else do you know about Haseba? It's a chiyuv, and it's not only for the rich. Okay. Which number two? Which number three implies Right, well, okay, if it's chiyuv for everyone, but the Mishnah had to go out of its way to say it's not only for the rich, it's even for the poor. The Mishnah doesn't tell me, you know, even poor people have to say kriyashma. Right. Now, if you're talking about arba kosos, it costs money. So I don't have the money to front for the arba kosos, that's a practical problem. Haseba doesn't presumably cost any money. I mean, to do haseba comfortably might cost money, but I could do haseba on anything. So it's interesting that it was a hava mina that if I'm poor, I'm potter. Which, why is that? Not because of expense, but what that tells me, number two, again, A, that's just from reading the Mishnah. There's a chiyuv, haseba is a chiyuv. Haseba is a chiyuv for everyone. Implication is... Right. They communicate something which one could have imagined. The hava mina is not that Ani wouldn't do haseba because he can't afford it. Hava mina, presumably, Ani doesn't do haseba because it's pointless. Because the Haseba is supposed to communicate a certain aspect of luxury. So it would be almost a joke. He's being massive, but the rest of the context doesn't look Haseba-like. Right? So the Mishnah implies that Haseba is meant to communicate that Ben Melech aspect. And finally, what else does the Mishnah tell me a din about Haseba that we sort of take for granted? That Haseba is done when? Or how? Or with what? Right, it's a way of eating. You're not just going to do haseba while you're asking the man ashtana. You're not going to do haseba while you're saying how. Haseba is a way of eating. Something you do in conjunction with eating. So, okay. But that's just reading the Mishnah. The Gemara already jumps in. The Gemara picks up that last point. It says, well, eating what? We didn't fill that in. If you ask yourself, the Gemara right away jumps in. Let's talk about the official foods that are there are on everyone's ingredient list for the Seder. Matzah, mar, yayin. Matzah sar chaseba, mar ain sar chaseba. Matzah does require a seba, mar does not. Rashi says, mar doesn't need a seba, it's a zecher la'avdus. That's working off of, again, the implication before from the Mishnah that Haseba is supposed to communicate geula, supposed to communicate luxury. So to do that together with Maror is mixed messages. But Matzah, it does require Haseba, kivnei chorin, shehu zecher l'geula. Because Matzah zecher l'geula, we spoke about it the other day, Matzah is a paradoxical blend of both, but certainly is one of the messages of Matzah. As the Mishnah said later, the Mishnah of Rabban Gamliel, and one of the messages of Matzah definitely is Zeicha L'Geula, and that's what we're picking up on when we're Mesiv. Yeah.
Are you allowed to do Haseba?
I mean, are you Yotzei Mar if you did Haseba? I don't know. Stama. But I don't think you're Mekayim or anything. There's nothing gained by doing Haseba. Then the Gemara goes on to say, how about the wine? So matzah, yes, maror, no. Karm Pesach is notably absent here. As is any other food, because we move straight to the drinks. Yayin, so what does the Gemara say? It mishmei d'nachman tzarech haseba, mishmei d'nachman ain tzarech haseba. The Gemara says we have what appears to be a steer in Rav Nachman's. There's some Talmidim who said, Rav Nachman said, you do have to mase it for wine. Some Talmidim said, b'shei Rav Nachman, you don't have to mase it for the kosos. And the Gemara says, sounds like a machlokas, but it's not, velo pligi, ha betarti kasi kamoi, ha betarti kasi basroi. The Shaila is, it's not a machlokas. He was talking about two different cases. One time he was talking about the first two cups, the other time he was talking about the latter two cups. So Rav Nachman really said that two of the kosos require a seba, and the other two kosos don't require a seba. Okay, but then the Gemara says, we're not done yet. We know that the two statements of Nachman are consistent with each other. There's no steer of Nachman's. But the problem is we're not sure how they're consistent. And this was a machlokas. This was a machlokas, not Rav Nachman or Rav Nachman, but later Amoraim in terms of how to interpret Rav Nachman. Amr l'ahaygis. Some of the later Amoraim said in this direction, and some said in the other direction. Amr l'ahaygis, and some said this way, that what? Trei kasi kamoi bo haseba, dashtu to kamas l'acheres. One group of the later Amoraim said that Rav Nachman had held that the first two kosos, Kiddush and Magid, they Asher Galanu, those are the ones that require Haseba, could hashtahu to kamasal cheiros. What does that mean? That now is when the cheiros is beginning. In the beginning of the Seder. But the last two causes, Trey Kasi Basar Loba Haseba, my Dahava. What was? At that point, Cheirus, it's old history. It's already done. Interesting. Yeah, so there are some quizzical looks here. And what do you mean? Isn't that the whole point of Leil HaSeder, to celebrate Cheirus? So why would we not be celebrating Cheirus? Hold on to that. And then let's see, what does the other tzad say? Amar Lahai Gisa. And there's a second group of later Amoraim disagreed and said, no, Rav Nachman meant it the other way around. Adarabba, just the opposite. Trei kasei basroi bo haseba. It's the last two cups that require seba. Hahi shaita dekav yecheiros. Because that's when you have the cheiros. That's when the cheiros already exists. Masha'enok in the first two kosos, lo bo haseba, da katev an mayir kamar. You're still in the middle of saying avan mayinu. How could you be doing haseba? So before we even go on to the maskana of the Gemara, lahalacha lamaaseh, just worth considering what were the Gemara is being very explicit about svaras, which is a gift that Amram gave us here, we often don't get. Most of the time you have to really dig more for the svaras. The Gemara is playing it out here. Matter of fact, it feels the Gemara is almost giving too many svaras. Right, so much so that Gemara gave svaras to both tzadim, fully giving svaras for the yes and no of each tzad, and so much so, looking around the room, a lot of quizzical looks about the first set. Again, either you say niyaseba for the first two kosos, or niyaseba for the last two kosos. If it's for the first two kosos, then we said, because that's when the cheiros is starting. But by the end, it's already done. Old news. Seems like a curious svara. And the other mahalach was, no, it has to be at the end. That's when you already have the cheiros. It was the beginning when you're still saying avadim hayinu. So which line, which is a Mishnah, but is famous as a line from Magid, is driving this discussion. Now, the Amoraim here, Lechora, are all powered by the same line from Tanan. And the question is how you unpack it. Yeah, what would you say? Exactly. Chayvam Leros Asatzmil Ki Yotza Atim Mishiv Mitzvah. And the Mishnah tells us later in the Perek, and we say it near the end of Magid, that the Amachoyev, our Girsa, we'll get to the Rambam's Girsa later on, but our Girsa is Chayvanim Liros Asatzma, that part of the Sibur Tiyas Mitzrayim is to envision, to imagine that you're going through Tiyas Mitzrayim now, over the course of tonight, at the Seder, right, which as many have pointed out, is arguably the hardest part of all the halachas of Leil HaSeder. Eating matzah is not really that hard. Eating marak, come on, it's not really that hard. Right, drinking dalkosos, you get involved. I mean, obviously, they all require work, and do them well requires more work. But chayvam liris is atzma. Wow, that's really difficult. But to imagine that I'm going through, and that requires good imagination. That requires real focus. And if you're doing that, mimela, obviously, it's going to vastly expand and deepen your Sibur Tiyas Mitzrayim, of which it is a part, and your matzah and your mara, because everything's going to be transformed if you're really roa es atzma. Right, but that's an avod. That's avod of kasha shemikdash. Shemamish, imagine. Part of what that means, presumably, is recognizing that we are who we are for the last 3,500 years because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it may mean more than that. It may mean actually trying to imagine, like to conjure up in your mind, leaving Mitzrayim. And so some edot have the minhagim that make that very vivid. But that's difficult. That's difficult. So, but our Gemara presumably is picking up on that and adding a chiddush. What's the chiddush of our Gemara? Or two chiddushim of our Gemara? Number one is that two chiddushim in chayv adam liros. Number one is not just, it's not just sort of like a block unit. Leil HaSeder, you have to imagine Yetzias Mitzrayim. But what the Gemara is telling us, both sets of Amoraim agree that it's process, dynamic process over the course of Leil HaSeder. Not just during Magi, you should imagine Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's that you should feel yourself going through the process as you're going through the Haggadah, such that, let's say the second Shita says, you're still holy by Avadim Hayinu, where you're not yet free. Right? The first Shita said, the first Tukosa, that's when the Cheiros is beginning. And the second day it says, the second Tukosa, that's when you already have the Cheiros. It's not only Chayvam Liros, but to dynamically go through process over the course of the Leil HaSeder. That's clear according to both sets of Amoraim. And number two, what's in the Nekudas HaMachlokes, given that everyone agrees Chayvam Liros, that Tanan, and given that everyone agrees Chayvam Liros means over the course, processing it through over the course of the Seder, then the Machlokes seems to be whether Haseba should relate more to what or to what?
The process of the goal?
Yeah.
Right? In other words, if you think about it, what they're saying, well, my Dehava, Hava, what was, what do you mean? Now we're free. The Lachara, exactly as you said. The first Shita said, the Cheres is beginning now. Meaning, the first two Kosos, think what the first two Kosos envelop, what the second two Kosos envelop. The first two Kosos, Kiddush, Shagaladu, bracket, they form a sandwich around Magid. The second two Kosos form a sandwich around Hala. The third Kosos is the Kosos after Bench, the fourth Kosos is the Kosos after Hala. So the first two Kosos are the Kosos of Sipras Yisrael. The latter two Kosos are the Kosos that relate to Hala. Hala itself, by the way, Hala itself is as we say in Magid based on Mishnah, the Fikach, Anachachem L'Hos Hala. The Hala itself is part of the Chayvon Liros. Now that I'm free, but now I have a Chiv Hala. We just had Yeshua, we just had a Gula, now we have to sing Hala. So Hala itself is part of this Chayvon Liros, and part of exactly what we're saying here. I'm actually going through the process of responding. Hala is a focus on the now that we already have it, how we're responding to the Cheres that's already packaged. And CBT of Yisrael, we're going through Maskim Muslim and Sayyid Meshavach, starting with Avdus and work right through Cheres. And the question is, should the Haseba be relating more to the process of going free or the product of being free? Yeah.
How about the first Shita who is all about the practice? Also in Magi, he's going
to say
Hala.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Rad is around later at the end of the paragraph that talks about. And that's yet another briskrav about that rod. That's a briskrav in Hilchas Chanukah Paragimel. That halal is a halal b'shas hanes. Is a spontaneous aspect to it. So that's what he says. You almost like you erupt. The Fikon Achachah. If we just succeeded in over the course of Magid in seeing ourselves going through the process of going from Avdus to Cheres. So it has to be a degree of like a spontaneous on the spot. We'll get to the formal halal later with the bracha and everything. You have to burst out. The machlokes b'shan b'sil. You say one parak, two parakim. How much halal do you say at the beginning? But you're right. But the ikar, the most of the halal is later. But this is already a spark of it. But again, the first two kosos are hashtu to kamasa cheres. This is when the cheres is happening. This is when it's kaching. This is that. But later on, it's already we can step back. The relaxed halal that follows the Suuda, we step back and can enjoy, you know, what we have. And the question is, should the Haseba relate more to the, and the Chayva Demliros, or the Haseba, should the Haseba relate more to the process of the dynamic, active, wow, the change, that we're supposed to be trying our hardest to imagine over the course of Magid, or should it be the Haseba relate more to now we are B'nai Chorin, and now we can take stock and appreciate over the course of a halal, the Cheres. So that's in the Kudna. Again, everyone agrees, there's certain the Hanachas that both opinions in the Gemara agree to, namely Chayvon Liros, and specifically that's happening dynamically over the course of the Seder. And the question is, so where does, given all that, where does the Seba fit in best? Were they Misakin and Haseba in conjunction with the Magid, in conjunction with the Hal? Yeah, Avremel.
You're filling by the first two kosos, then Chayvadam Liros is the process of Gula. If it's the second two, it's the end result of Gula.
Right, or at least the Haseba. Does the Haseba relate to the process or to the end result? Okay. Right. And then you come to the last line of the Gemara. So now the Gemara worked out, we know Rav Nachman said you had Mesa for two kosos, we're just not sure why, and there are good arguments to be made for both sides. So the Machlokas, it wasn't Rav Nachman knew, but the later Amoraim weren't sure. The later Amoraim had a machlokas. Do you mace it for the first two? You mace it for the last two? So the Gemara says that apparently this sounds like this was an unresolved machlokas. There was no hachra. Hashdi it mahachi, the it mahachi, idiv idibo aseba. So now that we have both versions, some Amoraim say like this, some Amoraim say like that. So the Gemara says this is one of those cases that we're not going to come to maskana. Instead, what? Instead, do a Haseba across the board. Do a Haseba across the board. So you saw. So one issue that comes up here is the Purim Pesach bridge, and that is that the Ran has a har right here. What's the Ran? Ran is very bothered by the Gemara's maskana. Right? You saw the Ran. The Ran here in Pesachim says, "I don't understand. That's a very strange type of maskana. Why is that a strange type of maskana?" The Idiv Idiv Ba'aseba, it seems to violate what rule?
Rule
So everyone will kulam. I say, but not din daraisa l'chara. Is it? The Ron Sir does not think that I say, but din daraisa. No Rishon thinks that the Chiyuv HaSeba is Daraisa. So the question is, so what happened? Hey, Machmer for both. That sounds like a Daraisa. That does not sound like a Drabanan. What are you going to do? So the Ron says, the Ron has two Terutzim. Interesting. The Ron has two Terutzim. His first he has a sort of more straightforward Terutz, then he has a... His second Terutz is more Cheshbon Terutz. The first Terutz, what does he say? He says, so Rabban Lakula, that only applies when? Only when? Yeah, it's a tircha, if it's hard. Tell me, I have to say, I laid in the Megillah twice on two different days. Something like that. But something whether I laid in the Megillah or not. I think I was Yosef, not sure. I hear the Megillah again, that's a big tircha. Okay, I go back to shul for another half hour. That's a very significant tircha. Not the end of the world, you have to do it in Avad, you do it b'simcha. But it's, you know, it's an imposition. So I can say Sef Rabban Lakula. Now, let's say a fellow had one slice of bread, got a slice of pizza, not full for a slice of pizza, not kedei sviyah, but a slice of pizza. Okay, so he has to bench, lechara you have to bench. So okay, but if it's not a down to bench me at Torah, not kedei sviyah, I had a kedei of bread. Okay, but now I'm not sure, did I bench or not bench? So maybe there I can say, sav rabban lekula. Look, benching takes a couple minutes. So some people have benchophobia, right? So seem to have a benchophobia. I said, not an incredible tircha, but okay, fine. So you say, so maybe I can say stuff Rabban Lakula. But the Ron says, here, what tircha? I'm drinking the wine anyways. It takes no extra time, it takes no extra effort. Just the question, am I going to sit up and drink the wine? I lean over. So lean over. So what do you lose? It'll take you an extra second to drink. A little more, you may spill. Okay. That's not milsa's a tircha. So that's the Ron's first tircha. That's Sabran Lakula is when it's difficult. So then you have the right to say Sabran Lakula. But here, it's not appropriate to rely on Safik Dirabanan Lakula. That's the Ron's first teretz. He quotes that. And then he sounds like he's not so excited. He has another answer. What's his other answer? What's his other answer? This answer you have to read slowly and carefully. What's his other answer? The Ron says, well, yeah. They bother to lean here. So the nira, the karlach of boiling and a seba the kula. No, you must do a seba. It's logical that we should require you to do a seba. Or then why? The nasal lakula, here we're going to make a. How would we apply sabran lakula? He said the secondary is sabran lakula fundamentally cannot apply. Not that it could have, but it's not such a tircha, so it's not right to apply it. No, it fundamentally can't apply. Why? Because how are you going to apply Sabran Lakula? Am I Meiko Bahani? Tell me Hani. How are you going to choose which one to Meiko? Be Meiko, which one are you? I even make on both. He says, no Chiyuv Zeba whatsoever. A Meiko Messes Zeba Lagam. He says, what are your options? You have four options. Be Meiko on both? Be Meiko for both? Meiko for neither? Meiko for the first set or Meiko for the second set? So he says to arbitrary, said to Meiko, not to Meiko at all. Then if you're sure now you'll be on to the mitzvah, then what are you going to say? I'm going to arbitrarily choose one set to mace, one set to drop. And apparently, it's not right to choose. You don't have the right to choose arbitrarily. So he says the only option left by process of elimination, only option left is do heseba all the way through, and that's why the Gemara said edivi edi bo heseba. So let's think for a moment, and then I want to hear your questions. Again, let's just recap. There are two answers on the table. Right, the Ron quotes, and then the Ron's own answer. Now, when the Ron quoted, we're going to dig into the Ron's own answer a second. But first, let's just consider the machlokas. Well, he doesn't like the first one. The nekudas of machlokas between these two. The first one's giving as a well. They both give a chiddush in Safra Rabban Lakula. The chiddush of the first one, as we start talking and start doing something during Seder, the first one is the Chora saying. That Sabran Lakula is not an absolute rule. It's you have the right to be mekel. The right to be mekel, if there's reason to be mekel. It's like Lutzorich. Lutzorich is allowed to be mekel. So fundamentally it didn't apply. So the second approach seems, Ron himself seems to say, no, Sabran Lakula is across the board. It's not just we give the right to be mekel if in case of need. So that issue, you know, this nekuda that the first teretz is raising, yeah, you can make it if you need to. There is parallel, perhaps, to another machlokas Rashi and Ran about a similar type of idea. It may not be the same, but certainly is parallel, if not identical. Gemara, beginning of the first parak of Beitza, has a notion of a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Davar sheyesh lo matirin. A davar sheyesh lo matirin means something that's usher now but will be mutter in the future. So, for instance, you have an egg that the chicken laid on Yom Tov, so that's usher for the course of Yom Tov. Yom Tov is over, it's hetzer gamer. But if the chicken laid the egg today on Yom Tov, so it's muksa for the remainder of Yom Tov till Yom Tov is over. So the Gemara discusses, we call that a davar sheyesh lo matirin, because it's a temporary iser. It has a matir. As soon as night falls, Yom Tov is over, the iser is over. The iser ends, it expires. So therefore, you shouldn't rely on Safra Rabban Lekulis. You're not sure if this egg was laid. I'm not sure if it was laid before Yom Tov started or after Yom Tov started. Then you say, look, davar sheyesh lo matirin, don't rely on Safra Rabban Lekulis. Or let's say that one egg, it was vade laid on Yom Tov, that got mixed into a bunch of other eggs. Got mixed into 100 other eggs. I have 101 eggs, one of which was laid on Yom Tov. The other 100 were laid the day before. Sounds like it should be batal. So in both those cases, we say, davar sheyesh lo matirin. Don't rely on Safra Rabban Lekulis. Don't rely on bittel. Wait till tomorrow. Wait till tonight. It'll be mutter tonight. Take a different egg. The question is what? Rashi says in Beitza, yeah, davar sheyesh lo matirin. So why do you have to make it? Where is the need? Where is it? So it's a great sorrow. If it's something that's going to be also forever, they understand. Okay, you have Safra Rabban Lekulis, you have bittel. I get it. But here, where's the tzorek? Just wait till tonight. It's not that you don't have to throw it out in the garbage. Just instead of having scrambled eggs in the afternoon, you have scrambled eggs matzah Yom Tov. That's Rashi's approach. Sounds very, if not identical, certainly very similar to the first approach of the Ran quotes. Safra Rabban Lekulis, if there's a real tzorech, you really Safra Rabban Lekulis. But if it's not, no big tircha, then why do you have to invoke Safra Rabban Lekulis? The Ran himself, at least for the bittel aspect, this is why it may not be identical, but certainly is similar, for the bittel aspect, the Ran says, no, WGMIT is not. What's the big deal? Just wait. He has a whole fancy explanation in the Darim of why when davar sheyesh lo matirin is fundamentally different. But not just sort of this, it's not the obvious natural svara of there's not so much tzorech, just wait. He explains it's much more nuanced. I don't want to get into sugya davar sheyesh lo matirin. He explains why if the davar sheyesh lo matirin is a different type of an iser, so it operates differently, bittel will work differently. And without getting involved with all the details, it definitely is a parallel to here. If not identical, definitely parallel. If the first day here is saying something like Kula, as if you have a Tzorech. There's no Tzorech. Why not just be Machmir and be Mace by both? And the Ran makes that point at the very beginning, when at the Lean Era, he says, no. Fundamentally, you cannot say something like Kula. It's not that, oh, why not be Machmir? Fundamentally, the whole notion doesn't apply. That seems to be what's up in the air between the first day of the Ran quotes and the Ran's own Shita. We should dig into the Ran's own Shita in a moment, but first there were a couple of hints. No?
Yeah, one part of the Ran said was that you didn't want to pin one star against another star. But isn't it by saying that you hold the lean everywhere, doesn't that pin the lean against it only?
Pin the
people who say lean against people who say don't lean? I mean, whether or not you're pinning a whole star against another whole star, lean and don't lean versus don't lean and lean, you're still pinning, and the Maskana points around says that you pin lean and lean versus don't lean and don't lean. And by saying leaning everywhere, you're forgoing the people who say don't lean anywhere.
No one says don't lean anywhere.
You're forgoing the opposite side of each star that says don't lean on A and
Yeah, but I'm not sure that he's talking at that point so much the level of svara as much as halacha l'maisa. In other words, no one says it's usur to be masiv. It's going back to what Akiva was asking for Amara. By yayin for sure, no one's going to say it's usur to be masiv more, or even that you took away. Just you know, there's no chiyuv, and maybe it's not meaningful. Okay, but it's not.
Even if you hold a vadim, that a vadim.
That's a good point. But so I think the way you explained it before should answer to solve that. And what we're saying is that Chazal would not have been misakin Haseba according to that second Shita for when you're still going through the process. We want to have Haseba celebrating now that we are free. But it's not an Aveira to make for the first. It was just, it may be meaningless. It may even be a little silly. Maybe you'll even say it's a little silly. Okay, it's a little silly. But it's not Aveira. If each one held my way or the highway, you mechuyev to be mesiv here, and it's usher to mesiv over there. There's no, you mechuyev to mesiv over there, usher mesiv over here. That would be a different story. Then we have to bite the bullet, and it'd be machriya like one shita or the other shita. But no one says usher; they say meaningless or maybe even silly. Okay, so we'll take our chances with silly. So we're not being silly because we're doing it. Not stam, not head yot. We're doing it because it is a shita that holds that way. Why? You're waiting very patiently.
Why does the Ron not like the first
Eretz? I would suggest it might be Lishitaso, that he doesn't see Safar Ban Lakula, or long Lishitaso. Safar Ban Lakula is not just like a zchus that you have. You have the right to make it if you want to. It's not a coupon. It's fundamentally. This is the way Chazal set up the Takana. Yeah.
So in Beitza, what does the Ron say?
The Ron rejects, I didn't want to get into the details of what the Ron says, but the Ron reject does not want to say, the Ron in the Darim, talking about the Gemara Beitza, says, Davar Sheyesh Matir is not just about, like, practically, like, it's no big deal, so why not be Machmir? He explains, he gives a fundamental answer to why Davar Sheyesh Matir is like a different type of Isser. So he, which parallels what he's doing here also, where he rejects the notion that that stuff around the kula is just like that. You have the right to imach, to make if you need to. Yeah.
Even if there's no specific isser, shouldn't it be similar to like saying halakha day, where if you do something more than it's supposed to, it loses its meaning?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good kasha on the Gemara. Meaning, how are we not machriya? How are we not machriya? Yeah. Now the truth is, we're getting ahead of ourselves. The second discussion is going on in this. We'll get to Mitzvah tomorrow. The Brisker Rav has a sort of a season this sugya, fundamental debate about the nature of Haseba, which we'll get to. So in the course of that, we'll see that there are Rishonim who argue that our Gemara is only talking about minimums, but that not only it's okay, but it would be ideal to mesiv for everything that you eat, except maybe for mara. that's the question. Is there value to be mesiv for Shulchan Aruch? Certainly if you say yes, so we're not worried about taking away from the stark, only mesiv of these couple of moments, right? Dramatic haseba. And that was the minimum chiyuv, chazal mesak, at the very least, if you mesiv for matzah and for two kosas of what? Which two kosas is a good question. But certainly not drawing away. Okay.
But if you have something obviously is not, then it's stronger than just being mesiv during Gemara, which could be viewed as part of the Gula.
Okay. But again, like I said before, I think when the Gemara says Avadim Hayinu, I think it means the point is that these two kosas relate to. You're drinking, you'd be mesiv by Asher Galon. What do you mean Avadim Hayinu Kama? It's an hour later. The answer is no. I mean, these codes relate to the whole Maggid, which includes Avadim Hayinu, as well as, Yotzeinu. So that's not as bad. It's just not catching the ideal moment. Okay, so again, so what do we have? Let's recap before we go and get into one new issue. What do we have so far? We have a Mishnah. Mishnah says Zechiv HaSeba. Has to be done in conjunction with the eating. That obviously demonstrates some sort of Ashiras Geula. And Gemara gets involved in the details. Okay, what does eating mean? Eating matzah, yes. Does it mean more? No. Does it mean yayin? Halfway. Theoretically, halfway. Lamaisa, fully. In theory, to be mesa for two kosos. And everyone seems to agree that the original Takanas Chazal was only for two kosos, but practically speaking, because we're not sure which two, and we can make the argument, l'kan, halacha l'maisa, we require nowadays That, and nowadays, meaning for the last 1,500 years, that you have to be meiser for all four kosas. But in the days of Rav Nachman and before, they were only meisiv for two. We're just not sure which two were they meisiv, which two were they not meisiv for. Or with which are you mechuyiv to meisiv, which are you not mechuyiv to be meisiv. And again, in terms of why the Gemara's response to the Safek Drabanan is to be machmir, and to say idiv idiv bo aseba. So far we're talking about the first day that the Ran is quoting from early Rishonim, is that it's not right to rely on, you should rely on the tongue. So run the kula, it's a kula. So l'makam tzarech, you can rely on the kula. But it's not, again, or along the lines of Rashi by Davash Eish Matir and Rashi and Beitza. If there's a real tzarech, you have the right to rely on it. But it's not right. It's no big deal. You can rely on Davash Eish Matir and you rely on Safra Ban the kula. It's inappropriate. So that's the first day in the Ran. That's why you say you're mechayev to be made for all four. The Ran himself, again, he's saying something more fundamental. Let's spend a couple of minutes now. Now we're on the new schedule, so we shiur will go until 12:20, the new daylight savings marvel schedule. So let's spend the next 11 minutes. Let's spend the next 11 minutes trying to understand this Ran some more. What's the Ran saying? So the Ran said that the reason why you're meisiv for both is because you can't skip both sets, because then your mamash ochre the whole din, and you also cannot arbitrarily choose. I can't just choose to meisiv for the first two or just meisiv for the last two. I'm my knuckle bahani tfeimai. Why would I make on one more? Now this sounds like this. I don't have the right to arbitrarily choose. And to leave at both Mekra mitzvah seba lagamri, the whole mitzvah seba went out the window. That's for sure not right. We tell everyone to only meisiv, to not be meisiv, well, just matzah, no yain. We know the chazal masakin has seba on yain. For sure. Matter of fact, when the Rambam, we'll get back to this mitzvah tomorrow also from a different angle, when the Rambam quotes our Mishnah, the Mishnah said, la yocha chiyasev. The Rambam says it as, you have to be ochel v'shose v'haseba. Right? So yocha means both achil and shtia. So matzah and yain. You're not going to be meisiv for yain at all. It can't be. The only solution is be meisiv for both sets. And the problem that you saw is what? And the Ran himself addresses this problem. You should know that the Ran is not the only one to say this, number one, before we get to the problem. The Stipler and Erevin, I just noticed this morning, Stipler and Erevin, Simeon Gimli, if you want to take a peek, he points out there are other Rishonim ready to talk this way. He has a Tosis and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Memalev, also says, if you have a contradictory Sefer Ban Lekulas, sort of like here, make it like this, make that. Tosas also says you can't be make on both along the lines of the Ran. The problem is the Ran himself, as you saw in Megillah, and here we get back to bridging Purim Pesach. Megillah seems to have the same type of issue, but the Ran does not give the same type of solution. What's the Shiloh over there?
Yeah.
Prague! Prague. Or perhaps, I know. Right, or perhaps Tveria. Prague is actually not a halachic machlokas, a halachic subject. It's actually a historical subject, I think. And there are people, I've never researched this. I don't know if there's substance to it, but people say there's a line out there, it's where Ron wants to look into this, see if there's real substance to it. There's a line out there that Prague is a Safek Mukav Chom Yos Yeshua B'Nun. Prague is a very ancient city. It certainly predates the Roman Empire by a lot. There is this notion out there that there is a real Safek, whether Prague is Mukav Chom for the last 3,500 years, or whether it was Mukav Chom 3,500 years ago, in the days of Ralph Ruffin, 33, whatever it is. 3,000+ years ago, there's Yeshua B'Nun. So let's assume you have such a city, whether it's Prague or not, you have a city where you're not sure, as the Ran discusses, Ayoros HaMesupakos. If the cities we're not sure factually, is it Mukav Chom HaNas Yeshua B'Nun or not? So what are you going to do? What are you going to lay in the Megillah? Either you're supposed to lay in the Yudalit or you're supposed to lay on Tezvah. We're not sure which one because we're not sure what the status is. So what should you do? So the Ran quotes that the Gaonim, who lived several centuries before the Ran, they said that what should you do? Horu HaGaonim, that what? Yikarvish, right? Yudalit and not Tezvah. And there too, the Ran gives two explanations. His first explanation is also sort of skirts doesn't treat it as a fundamental issue of suffering from Lakula. His first explanation, why Daf Yudal not Tezvav, what's his first explanation? Is... Right, Rove! It says it's not really a suffix. Because look, if you're not sure what the status of Prague is, it's an interesting way of thinking about Rove, which I don't want to get into right now, but file this away. He says, most cities are not Mukav Chol and Yosef Shua Benud.
Right, that's certainly true. Most cities that exist nowadays did not have a, probably didn't exist, and so didn't have, a, therefore didn't have a wall over 3 millennia ago. Now it's a very interesting rove, as to how that sheds light on this city. It's an interesting type of rove. Got to think about that. But as he says, terrace number one, and that's something to think about some other time. He says it's not a suffix. The rove is, it's Yudalit. Chances are, any random city. Chances are. It probably doesn't mean it's Ruben Isakam, probably means Ruben Lysakam, probably just a statistical, probabilistic statement. The random city, chances are, it's not, it did not have a Choma 3,300 years ago. And then he says, that's, you know, neither here nor there from our perspective. But what's his second teretz? The second teretz is, no, maybe it is a coin toss. Because look, it's not a random city. I'm not saying any random city. Of course, any random city. I'm in Brooklyn. Should I be? Lein Yudal Tezvav. Chances are Brooklyn was not Mukav Choma 3,300 years ago. But we're not talking about a random city. We're talking about Prague, where I have real historical evidence. Now, so I have a real Raglayim Ladavar. It's a real suffix. So Ryan says, don't worry. Even if it's a real 50-50 suffix, a suffix hashakel, an even suffix. What does he say? The man says, still, hold on to your question. He says, still, I'm going to be Kori B'Yadal not Tezvav. Why? Why? What does he say? He says, well, I'm not going to make on both. I can't just say, don't suffer from Lakula. I'm not just going to say, don't leave Megillah at all. So instead of all I say, make your dollar. What's the your dollar? You can make on Tezvav. Now here's the problem. Let's clarify the issue here. Both Rans agree that you cannot be made on both. But the question is, given that you cannot be made on both, can you choose one? So the Ran here, based on our Gemara, here being Psachim, said, no, you cannot arbitrarily choose one over the other. Be Machmer across the board. Whereas there, in Megillah, the Ran said, well, you cannot be make on both of them, because that's for sure not right, but it's fine to read Megillah on the first day, and then, when the second day rolls around, apply Safed Drabon on the Kula. One second. Is it okay to choose one over the other or not? The Ran and Psachim said, no, you cannot choose one over the other, you've got to be Machmer on both. While the Ran and Megillah says, yes, once you've lain the first day, you have the right to make and not lain on the second day. That is seems like an outright steer at Ran's, raised by none other than who raises a steer? The Mishnah Ma'av. Right? The Mishnah Ma'av says, I don't understand this Ran. What is going on? It's the same man. Dhammachlokas is the same Ran. It's not like two Tosas in two different Masechtas. Tosas were written by tens if not hundreds of Baya Tosas. You have a Tosas here, a Tosas there. It could be two different people speaking, two different Rishonim speaking. The Ran is a man, Rabbeinu Nissim. One man wrote the Ran. So what did he hold? That's a real stira. That's not a machlokas. That's a stira. That's a problem. The Mishnah Melech in Yerman Rukamos, near the end of the first paragraph of Hilchos Megillah, he's very, very bothered by this. The Mamash is stira. What's the difference between a suffix over whether to mace the first two or the last two versus a suffix whether to read Megillah Yudalid versus Tezvav? Such that suffix Yudalid, suffix Tezvav, we're okay with saying lay on Yudalid and we'll let Tezvav go. Once we lay on Yudalid, Tezvav comes down, suffix on the Kula. Why not say that by Kosas also? You're telling me I have to be Mesa in the first two. So what's the Mesa in the first two? And the last two come around and say, no, Safi Garbon Lakula. Why are we imposing Hesem in the last two, but we don't impose reading Megillah on day two? Why? What's the difference between the case of Haseba and the case of Megillah? What's the difference? What would you say?
Sure.
Glorifying the mitzvah for
Okay. And why am I... Okay, good. But why am I not glorifying the mitzvah? Yeah. You're onto something. You need to polish it further. Especially since also it sounds like it's not just a question of hidur mitzvah. It sounds like we're actually requiring, you are mechuyev to imesiv by all four kosas. Why would that be? You gotta think about that. Yeah, what do you say? Tircha, yes. If you pull in the Ron's first teretz, you say, yeah, look, then that's no problem. The Ron's first teretz is gevaldik, right, because Mikra Megillah is a real tircha. The coasts are not. The problem is the Ron's second teretz, which is what he himself preferred, seems to be at odds. What's the thing? The Ron's second teretz in Pesachim, in Megillah, lines up with the Ron's first teretz in Pesachim. Maybe the problem is in both cases, he seems to be saying what he really believes. Yeah, what are you saying? You want to follow up on that? Yeah.
So it also could be that he could be holding that with the Arba Kodesh, you're not Yotze until you've done all four. But the Megillah, once you've read it night and day, you have to read it both times. But once you've done it the first time, you're Yotze.
Oh, so the stipler says something very similar to what you're saying. The very first stipler in Shas said Bracha Siman Alf near the end. He gets very involved in issues of Safra Rabban, the interesting permutations of Safra Rabban Lakula. So he suggests, along the lines of what you're saying, if you could lend me another 60 seconds, I'll be glad to stick around for questions afterwards. So the stipler says, along the lines of what you're saying, he says there's a difference between how the relationship between the two halves of Megillah.
If you are 17 or older, please head outside the library now to swab for gift of life. Your opportunity of saving someone's life by donating bone marrow, you will not know if you are eligible if you do not go outside the library now to swab. It takes anywhere from 30 seconds to 2 minutes. Yaakov Beanstalk will be there, so please make Yaakov won't be there. Everyone else will, though, so please make your way outside the library now if you are 17 or older.
Okay, that is important. If you haven't swabbed yet, definitely... You don't know how many lives you don't know whose life you might be able to save, including this drive is because of an alumnus of yeshiva, a Talmud of mine, who is in desperate need of what the gift of life can offer. Let's briefly wrap before you go ahead to do that mitzvah. Let's briefly wrap this up. The stipler says that look, what the issue is. The relationship between day one and day two is different than the relationship between first two kosas and last two kosas. Because he says, the Chiv HaSeba, the Mikra Megillah, if this is when Leil Yudalit comes, we're not sure whether the mitzvah is Chal or not. Because the Chiv Mikra Megillah on Yudalit is Chal Leil Yudalit. The Chiv Mikra Megillah, if it's Tezvav, is Chal tomorrow night. They don't present themselves simultaneously, says the stipler. So right now, on Leil Yudal, the only thing on the table is, well, maybe you have to read Megillah, maybe not. So say, okay, read it. Once you've read it, you only come across the Chiyuv of Tezvav after Yudal is already done. So at that point, you say, look, you may read it in Yotzer, maybe not. So at that point, you say, the Chiyuv of Tezvav only presents itself after they have done the Kriyas Yudalad. Whereas Heseba, everything is Chal B'Vasachas. When the first night of Pesach begins, all the mitzvahs Hayom kick in. So even though practically speaking, I'm going to perform the latter two kosas after the first two kosas, but the Chiyuvim all present themselves, the Kiyum comes later, but the Chiyuv, all the Chiyuvim are Chal B'Vasachas at Shki or Tetzach Kochavim of Tezvav. So that's what the disciple says, The Heseba first kosas, last kosas are linked in a way that Kriya Yudal Tezvav are not. Whereas the Ran, the Mishnah Melech, he himself thinks it has to do with whether it's a suffix for everyone or for one particular specimen, one particular situation. He says the stakes are greater by Heseba because they're given a psak for all of Klal Yisrael. Everyone has this suffix. It's a suffix in Din. Every single Jew has a suffix, Jew makes it first to or last to. So to choose arbitrarily, you run the risk of what the Ran said at the end, Mekra Mitzvah Seba Lagamri.
It could be that no Jew is fulfilling the din of a saver properly. That's a cost too great to bear. That's what we say, amai nakal bahani tfei mehani. That's the Mishnah Melech's take. Whereas he says, by Ayaris and Mesupakos, by Megillah, you have 1% of the Jewish population lives in cities that have the suffix. But the mitzvah of Mikir Megillah will be done properly. The question is, will you do it properly? That's an individual shaila. It's not a national shaila. So at that point, we can say we're more willing to say Sabran Lakula if it's on a case-by-case basis. But if it's a question of no Jew will ever fulfill it, the takana itself will not be kept, that's a price too great to bear. Mishnah tomorrow, we'll pick up with the nature of Haseba itself.